Brendan Rodgers was the coach who signed off on the 2-year loan from Manchester City with young Arzani. So, yeah, look, hopefully he can make a full comeback, impress the new boss and stuff. And I still don't think the Scottish Premier League or Celtic is the right fit for Daniel Arzani and the style of player that he is. But
yes.
Certainly this experience will have toughened him up mentally and physically. And let's hope that he can fulfil his promise because he's a wonderful talent.
Yeah, great talent, isn't he? So are you, Phil. And by the way, I had your beer in here for you too.
No, he didn't, Phil.
You don't know that. You didn't come in, so you don't get it.
Well, I text producer Steve and said if there's a case of beer this morning, give me a desk, I'll be there. And he said, mate, leave it till next week.
It's in the car. Or not.
stay dry, boys. Have a great day.
You too. You, see you, Phil.
Phil Moss there, our football expert. We'll take a break. We've got the news coming up after the news. We've got our legend of the game is Terry Hill. We'll get a sports update with Tanya and we'll speak all things rugby league with Dean Bulldog Ritchie. And, of course, take your calls on 1353 53.
Sarah Womby. Investigators will next week announce criminal proceedings against suspects in the downing of Malaysian Airlines flight MH17 5 years ago, allegedly by pro-Russia separatists. MH17 was shot out of the sky over territory held by separatists in eastern Ukraine as it flew from Amsterdam to the Malaysian capital, Kuala Lumpur, killing all 298 people on board. There were 38 Australians, one New Zealander, 193 Dutch and 43 Malaysians aboard, as well as 10 British passengers. The other passengers were from Germany, Belgium, the Philippines, Indonesia and Canada. Queensland may ban provisions following combustible cladding on high-rise buildings, with concerns the global insurance fallout from the Grenfell Tower disaster could affect the state's construction industry. It's been 2 years since 72 people died in the London fire, which spread rapidly due in part to the common type of cladding used in its construction. The ensuing scandal has caused insurance premiums to skyrocket for certifiers, threatening to grind Queensland's $45 billion construction industry to a halt. A man who stabbed an elderly patron at an inner Sydney hotel remains on the run. The attacker stabbed an 82-year-old man in the chest at a hotel on Henderson Road, Alexandria, about 3 yesterday afternoon. It's understood the men knew each other. The elderly man was taken to hospital and remains in a serious condition. Anyone with information has been urged to contact police. Also in news, a 29-year-old man has been charged over the death of his passenger who was unable to be saved from a fiery crash east of Perth. And a 22-year-old man has not been seen for more than 2 months, with Victoria Police and his family concerned for his welfare. Embattled Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam has sought to quell public anger by shelving an unpopular extradition bill that has highlighted apprehension about relations with mainland China, but opponents say it's not good enough. Activists are protesting today, a week after hundreds of thousands marched to demand that Lam drop the legislation, which many fear would undermine freedoms enjoyed by the former British colony, but not elsewhere in China. A pro-democracy member of the territory's legislature, Emily Lowe, says Ms. Lam should step down.
Many people are absolutely livid. They think that she is really very dishonest and disgraceful and not fit to govern Hong Kong. And to say that it was a communication problem, of course it was not. It's a problem of the two systems. We have rule of law here. In China, it's complete lawlessness.
Slovakia's first female president has been sworn in during a special session of parliament. The BBC's Rob Cameron has more.
Zuzana Čaputová was sworn in as Slovakia's fifth president, its youngest ever head of state, and the first woman to occupy the post in a special parliamentary session held in Bratislava's neoclassical Reduta building, home to the Slovak Philharmonic. The 45-year-old divorced mother of two is being hailed as a breath of fresh air in a region dominated by male politicians, including many with populist and authoritarian tendencies.
This is AIR News. Melbourne maestro Cameron Munster has orchestrated a 34-4 win over Newcastle to show the Knights they have a way to go to challenge for the NRL crown. The Knights came into yesterday's match with confidence high after six straight wins, but they were no match for competition leaders Melbourne at their best. Knights coach Nathan Brown says the Storm was too strong.
We'd play some reasonably good controlled footy and put them under the pump, and but it wasn't to be. And we saw a little glimpse of what I thought the game was going to be like for a 15-minute period, but you know, the damage was done in the first half, and in the end it was just too easy for them.
The Panthers beat the Rabbitohs 19-18 and the Eels too good for the Broncos, 38 points to 10. The Western Bulldogs have held off a late Carlton charge for a stunning 15-13-103 to 15-10-100 AFL win over their opponents at Marvel Stadium. The Dockers took down Port Adelaide 100-70 and St Kilda defeated the Gold Coast 80-76. Wins in the Super Rugby to the Brumbies, Hurricanes, Sharks and Bulls, and Australia has moved to the top of the World Cup standings with an 87-run win over Sri Lanka at the Oval. Captain Aaron Finch start with the bat, hitting 153 runs, while Mitchell Starc took four wickets, guiding Australia to a total of seven for 334. The win puts Australia 1 point clear on the top of the World Cup ladder, albeit after having played more games than most of the teams below them. Australian Independent Radio News.
Ribchester, the European champion miler twice and four-time Group 1 winner, including the Group 1 Queen Anne at Royal Ascot in record time. Ribchester, a son of successful shuttle stallion Ifraj, with record-breaking form at a mile. Free of Danehill and Danzig blood, a great outcross for the many Danehill line mares in this country. Mares by Exceed and Excel, Snitzel, Not a Single Doubt, and many others. For more information, visit darley.com.au.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Pinot Noir. By De Bortley, of course. Here's the traffic.
Don't miss Australia's biggest furniture and bedding sale on now at Amart Furniture. Get your second item half price when you buy any regular priced item store-wide. Conditions apply. I got it at Amart. In Croydon Park, we've got a two-car crash on Georges River Road at Burwood Road. It's down to one lane in each direction. And in Fairlight, flooding is affecting Sydney Road at Bellevue Street. Also in Manly on Pittwater Road at Balgola Road. Exercise caution. Target's mid-season event is now on with 20% off kids' denim jeans. That's 20% off a huge range of kids' denim jeans at Target. Offer ends June 26. Exclusions apply. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather, cloudy, high percentage of showers today. It's raining as we speak. The chance for thunderstorm along the coastal fringe with possible small hail later in the day. So heading for a top temperature of 18 degrees on this wet Sunday in Sydney. James, what's the forecast for Aberdeen and Wauchope?
Aberdeen, cloudy, light morning frost, 17 degrees for Aberdeen. And, of course, the Wauchope Cup on today as well. And Wauchope, it is a shower or two and 21 degrees.
Allow Finch to take advantage. The most Sports Radio, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. It is the final hour, heard all around New South Wales. And by the way, we'll give you a golf update. US Open being played at the moment. Raymond, Gary Woodland is at 10 under. He leads by 3 strokes. That's through 5 today. He's 1 under for the day. Matt Kuchar is 3 under for the day and is now into equal second with Justin Rose at 7 under. Brooks Koepka.
Lurking dangerously, James.
What's he won? 4 of the last 8?
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
He's only competed in 7 of them. Is 6 under, 2 under for the day. Best placed Aussie, we've got to go down to Adam Scott, who's even through 9 today and is 3 under in a tie for 15th. Jason Day's having a good day at 1 under. Mark Leishman is 1 under as well. But unfortunately for Cam Smith, it wasn't such a... He was playing with, by the way, or he is playing with, or he's finished now, Jason Day, 7 over for the tournament, 6 over for the day. 6 over for the day, so very disappointing. We're talking groundbreaking wins, Raymond. You could say that Adam Scott at the Masters...
And one of our
groundbreaking
listeners
win?
Did, yeah. Life changer, remember?
Adam Scott, life changer. Most definitely. We've got a lot of interesting SMS that have come in, and we're going to get to callers now. We've got a big last hour planned. We're going to speak to our legend of the game. We've got a sports update with Tanya. We've got Dean Bulldog Ritchie with all the latest in rugby league. What about this one? Morning, Jim and Ray. Groundbreaking wins. John Aloisi, the penalty goal for the Socceroos over Uruguay in November 2005. That's Cole from Newcastle.
Say it, Jim.
Lucky enough to be there that
night,
Cole. A wall of sound for 150 minutes.
And
the first time the Socceroos had gone to the World Cup in 32 years.
Since 1974 when Raleigh Russick coached them, I think.
Correct.
Ray Gatt told us last week. Jared at Oatland said Australia to win the 1983 America's Cup. Now, that was groundbreaking. It had never been won before. 132 years by memory. New York Yacht Club held it.
Yes. So yes, I'll go with that. And they were down 3-1.
Yep, and Australia 2 came through.
And one of the most memorable moments in Bob Hawke's prime ministership, when he said that anyone who sacks people is a bum.
Mm.
And of course they had a big memorial for Bob on Friday at the Opera House, Robert James Lee Hawke, legend of Australian politics. Two things, lads. Sorry, I sound a bit like Adrian. The mighty Canberra Raiders winning the grand final in 89, the first team to do so outside of Sydney. Groundbreaking.
Still one of the great games, too.
Now, the other thing, they were the first team to do it outside the top three.
Well, okay. One of the great grand finals. That was unbelievable.
Of all time. Mm. Of all time. Now, on the chairperson of the VRC, no public apology to PVL. I tune into Melbourne Sports Radio shows via a podcast, and collectively they supported the view of the chairperson. No question. Ray, we are about to enter into a horse racing hiatus. Get stuck into the VIX. PVL is a legend. That's Boris from Nangus.
He's giving him something to think about, isn't he? I tell you what. Where's Nangus? Gundagai Way.
Gundagai Way.
Nice part of the world.
Beautiful part of the world. It is 13 minutes past 9. Let's get to callers now. 1353 53. That is the open line number. Ray's on the line. G'day, Ray.
How you going, fellas?
Morning,
really
Ray.
Well, mate. What do you got for us?
I've been to a few games in the last couple of weeks live, and different games. I went to a Bulldogs-Doggies game, and I'm a Bunnies fan. I went to last night's game watching it with neutral eyes, one red, one green.
yes.
But the referees have been pretty ordinary lately. They've been making some really horrific errors. The Bulldogs just before halftime last week had a really crucial error go against them, changed the run of play.
Remind me.
On the attack, I can't really remember. I just remember that it was totally against what the decision should have been.
Right.
And last night, both sides were offside all night. The best way to stifle a good attacking side is to be offside. The referees just allowed it all night. There's one South fan left after about 25 minutes going off at the referees. He said, that's it, I'm paid for this, I'm out of here. Mm. And, not good. The South fans were giving it to the ref last night, but both teams were offside. But there were some decisions that were just wrong in the run of the game.
Okay.
Yeah, can hear your frustration, Ray. Jimmy, it's a common lament amongst NRL supporters, but what can be done? Because referees are only human, so what can be done to improve the consistency among the refereeing ranks?
Toughest job in the world, undoubtedly. You need to get past looking to them for blame, okay? So if the teams are standing offside, is it frustrating? Yes. Is it able to be fixed? No. They're going to make mistakes. Is the technology helping? Undoubtedly. When it's used, wasn't used on Friday night in the Cowboys versus West Tigers game, and that ended up being crucial. Paul Green was most upset after the match, understandably so. It's such a fine line. I think the reporting and the coverage of the game and excluding the impact that the referee has had on the game has been excellent because it shows a level of maturity as a game and as a supporter and as a reporter that you go, okay, they're going to make mistakes, but we will only start criticising the referees when the players are perfect.
Okay, I'll rephrase that question. Has the refereeing improved this year to past years?
No.
Has it gone backwards? Because it's a common lament that Ray's said, and we hear from a lot of NRL supporters, and they pay their money, and they walk away frustrated by refereeing mistakes. And I know that you're saying it's not the blame game, and you're right, but has the standard, and can the standard improve?
As soon as a team internally starts talking, or more importantly externally, starts talking about the impact a referee has on that, they're gone.
Shot to pieces.
Okay, right. So I understand that there's still a lot of frustration from supporters, coaches even more so, because their jobs are on the line. But the balance says that the better sides will win. Do referees have an impact? Undoubtedly. But I think the coverage of it has... There's been a real maturity of the game and the way it's covered.
Yeah.
I don't know whether... But that's just my thoughts on it. 1353-53, the open line number. Before we get to more callers, we've got Sparty or Lenny, a Sparty Talkback on Twitter. You want to send us a tweet, by the way, at Big Sports WEND. My biggest issue regarding NRL and the Origin outcome is the two kooky coaches and their alternative hoo-ha. Should I be walking barefoot to connect to the earth, or have some bloke whispering in my ear? Please advise.
Very good point.
It's an excellent point.
You probably argue the whispering in the ear worked last games ago with that one.
Right. So I don't.
Whatever's working for you.
There's a suggestion that you could do both.
Probably have.
You're probably way out there then, aren't you? Way out there. There we go. 1353-53. Let's go to the callers. John's on the line. G'day, John.
Hey, boys. How you going?
Really well, mate.
Jimmy, now the refereeing's terrible. 90% of those decoy plays, anyone that placed the boot on knows they're defensive errors. Yet, time and time again, a bloke will run through the line, touch another bloke from the opposition side, and it's no try.
It is frustrating.
No,
it is frustrating to watch, John.
They don't get them all right, but I reckon I've seen times this year where they've gone, a lot of times this year where they go, you've made a bad read.
Every time your side scores from one of those plays, your heart's in your mouth.
Yeah.
Right? But anyway, that's not what I wanted to talk about. On the West Tigers border.
Yes.
I've relocated recently to the Central Coast.
Right.
The best hooker in the Tigers camp is Jacob Little, and he has been for 2 years. He's just signed a 2-year deal with the Dogs. Right?
Yeah.
Everyone at that club knows that Jacob Little is the future of that club in terms of the hooking role. And I know there's pandemonium around Benji and Robbie, and Robbie's a great bloke and a great club man, but, mate, we're going to lose. We've lost this bloke because of that.
I've got to say, Jacob Little is an outstanding player. Mm-hmm. And I know he's a Central Coast boy, and he was crucial on Friday night. Like, he is a good player. That looks like Robbie Farrar might be going around again.
And Benji Marshall, too.
And one of the reasons that Robbie Farrar is going to go around again is that the West Tigers have bought a kid from Queensland, Simpkins is his name.
Yep.
And they anticipate him being a Queensland State of Origin hooker.
Okay.
He's only 18. I think he played in the under-18 game that was before the first State of Origin game. He is a standout. They're very, very bullish about that. And my point was, well, what about Little? And they said, we think he's better than Little. Little's a good player. No, it's a good point you make, John.
Yeah. Do you think Farrar and Marsh will be there next year? They both want another year now.
And this is what I say about every player. They're worth buying. It's just a matter of the price you get them at. Their salary caps are... A schmozzle, an absolute schmozzle. But for them, they're doing the best with what they've got. Their defensive work, hand on heart, Michael Maguire has turned them into the
their
team
effort.
That missed the most tackles in the league, into the team that missed the fewest tackles
the
in the league.
The effort's there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a great effort. G'day, Max.
Is this one of these scam calls from Nigeria?
You tell me, Max.
Where are we going with this, Max?
Yeah.
Oh, Jimmy, you'd do anything for a quid.
Oh, hang on, Max. How well do you- do you know me? Are we related?
You perpetuate this myth.
No, I know you well enough to have a joke, Jimmy.
Yeah, right. What do you got for us, Max?
I'm only joking, mate. I've got the utmost respect for you. You're the most upstanding, honest, and everywhere person I know, I think.
Oh, well said, Max.
Max, you looking for an urn?
Yeah, Jimmy's trying to find a prize to give you right now, Max. He's looking desperately.
Who do you like from a CD point of view, Max?
Elton.
Elton.
I don't know.
Go see Rocket Man.
I've got a question for you.
Yes.
Look, in about the last 5 minutes of the of a NRL match.
Yeah.
But if they give a market for each side, shouldn't they be given a market for a draw? Because it's an option, a definite option. Shouldn't they be given a market for a draw if they're giving a market for each side?
You're saying with 5 minutes remaining on a match, so live betting.
That's right. Yeah.
Live betting.
Yeah, live betting.
So you're talking about an 80-minute market.
Well, no.
You're talking about a result.
The result at the end of the, just say there's two teams. One team's on 24 and the other one's on 26. Obviously, the team on 26 is going to be shorter.
Yes.
But surely the draw comes into play. And it's like having three horses in a race. If they just give a market for both teams and they don't give the market for the draw, because the draw is a runner, is a contender.
Max, are you sure that option's not there?
No, well, I'll tell you
what. No, it's not.
Well, you'd have to, sorry, Max, you'd have to be calling to make that bet, right? You've got to be calling. So I'd imagine there are three markets.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's even the opportunity of a draw after 90 minutes, right?
Correct.
Right, because there's points scored in Golden Point. We don't see them very often, and my point on that
happen.
Is, unless I'm getting 66-1, I'm not taking the draw after 90 minutes. Because
I think the option would still be there. You might just look at it elsewhere. I might just text my good friend Glenn Munsey, who normally listens. But
can you check? You check that, Raymond, and we'll get back to you, Max, on that. But most definitely, it is an option. But you'd want a good price on it.
Absolutely,
you'd want a good price on it because of what happens in Golden Point. But obviously, it's the option prior to a game. You can bet back the draw, and I think generally speaking, a draw for an Origin game might be $16. A draw for a normal NRL game might be $21 or $26. But interesting question. By the way, can you get a prize for Max? We'll get something sorted out.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely. 1353-53, the open line number.
You're still looking for something, aren't you?
Yeah, we'll give him here. You don't want that, Ray, do you? It's your Carlton jersey. We'll give him that.
No, they didn't win last. I didn't wear it, so.
Sky Sports Radio brings you the newsmakers in racing and sports every day. Racing HQ can be trusted to bring you more racing information than anyone else. Just like the developments around October's Everest with Carmel Size on Classique Legend.
Kieran McAvoy, he said to me, he just wasn't a dust on it. And hopefully we make it to the Everest. We're not going to have three heavy tracks 3 years in a row.
We love talking racing all year round. And Racing HQ is required. Listing this winter on Sky Sports Radio.
Look, there's no easy way to do this, but I can't work here anymore. You know I love it here. In fact, you're the reason I've stayed here so long. It's just the time has come. I have got to get home for dinner.
Hate saying goodbye to your radio? Download Radio App on your phone and take your favourite station anywhere. Radio App, free from the App Store and Google Play.
Lazarus, twice named New Zealand Horse of the Year. Lazarus, also named 3-year-old, 4-year-old and 5-year-old Pacer of the Year. Lazarus, an Australasian Grand Circuit champion for 2 years in a row. And at the time, as a precocious 2-year-old, Lazarus paced the fastest 2-year-old mile ever down under with a final quarter of 25-1. Lazarus, standing at Yuraby Stud in New South Wales.
On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, a sports update with Tanya Thomas.
A quick check of the leaderboard midway through the third round of the US Golf Open at Pebble Beach. Gary Woodland holding on to that lead at 11 under. Matt Kuchar, Justin Rose and Brooks Koepka are at 7 under. Adam Scott is at minus 3. He's in a tie for 15th. Jason Day and Mark Leishman are at even par. They're in a tie for 28th. And way down the leaderboard, Cam Smith is at plus 7. Parramatta crushed Brisbane 38-10 in last night's NRL match at Bankwest, set up nicely by a 26-0 halftime scoreline. The win places the Eels back into the top eight, while Penrith is surging toward the eight after its fourth straight win. The Panthers beat a Burgessless South 19-18, a late James Maloney field goal the difference. And Newcastle came back to earth after six straight wins, going down to Melbourne at Amy Park 34-4, the Storm scoring 6 tries to 1. Today, Manly and St George Illawarra. The Roosters play Canterbury at 4. Australia is on top of the Cricket World Cup table after an 87-run win over Sri Lanka at the Oval. Aaron Finch hit 153 from 132 balls. Steve Smith made 73. And of our bowlers, Mitchell Starc took 4 for 55. Meantime, South Africa recorded its first win of the tournament with a 9-wicket victory over Afghanistan. The Brumbies extended their winning streak to 6 last night with a 40-27 victory over the Reds in Canberra. The ACT franchise is the only Australian team to make the finals and will take on the Sharks at home in a knockout quarterfinal next Saturday night. The Sharks booked their place in the elimination match after a 12-9 win over the Stormers. In other results, the Hurricanes 29 beat the Blues 24 and the Bulls 48 over the Lions 27. In the AFL, St Kilda 80 beat the Gold Coast 74. Fremantle defeated Port Adelaide by 21 points. And the Blue Boys, Carlton, couldn't quite do it, downed by the Western Bulldogs by 3. The Giants play North Melbourne away today at 3:20. Super Netball and the West Coast Fever season is alive and kicking after coming back from 10 goals down to beat the Adelaide Thunderbirds 53-52. The always popular local derby today at Qdos Bank Arena, with the Swifts playing the Giants at 3 o'clock. Women's Football World Cup overnight. The Netherlands 3 beat Cameroon 1. Canada 2-0 over New Zealand. The Matildas take on Jamaica on Wednesday morning. It's day 3 of the Darwin Triple Crown in the Supercars Championship. Scott McLaughlin won yesterday's first race, qualifying for race 2 is at 9:25 Darwin time, and at 11:05 it's the top 10 shootout. Bernard Tomic failed to qualify for the Queen's Club tennis tournament next week. In another setback, he'll drop from 88th in the world to outside the top 100. Meantime, this morning, Jordan Thompson will resume his rain-delayed semi-final against Richard Gasquet at the ATP event in the Netherlands. The Aussie leads the defending champ 75-5-3. Boys' Chris Froome has spoken to the press for the first time since that horror cycling accident where he crashed at 56 kilometres an hour in that race in France. He suffered a fractured neck, fractured right femur, a broken hip, fractured elbow and fractured ribs. He was in intensive care, but he came out, he just can't believe how lucky he was, and he wanted to thank the paramedics and the medical staff who were at the race at the time. To the cricket, and Sri Lanka are set to be fined by the ICC. They didn't attend the post-match press conference, the compulsory press conference after that game where they went down to the Aussies last night.
A dummy spin 10? Or
well, they refused to open the door to the ICC. Banging on the door, let us in. They wouldn't let us in.
Get Ravi Shastri to kick it in.
They're done a Serena Williams.
Remember Ravi kicked the door into the umpires at the Tide Test?
That's right, yeah. But they did make an official complaint during the week. They claim that they are experiencing inferior treatment compared to the other nations.
When we say other nations, do we mean India?
Maybe. But what they mean by that is that the hotels that the team has stayed at have lacked a swimming pool, and the bus that they've been ferrying them around the UK is too cramped.
Is it red and double storied?
I have no idea, but
it's been cold to swim over. There's been a cold summer.
Well, obviously, they're very upset about it. They're dead income about it.
To be honest, if all teams aren't staying in the exact same accommodation, it's ridiculous.
Well, they need to look at the Olympics and remember the American Dream Team. They stay on a boat.
Yeah, but they do it at their own cost.
Oh, do they?
They do it at their own cost. Yeah. They say, oh, we're going to stay here.
The basketball
team. They didn't stay in the Sydney Olympic Village either.
Where did they stay?
Oh, I don't know where. I think they stayed at the casino, didn't they?
Half of the players don't fit on the beds, do they?
That's
because
right.
They're too short.
And who was the footy player who came in and wouldn't stay out in the western suburbs? He stayed in the...
Well, the great story is John Singleton brought John Rebo down from the Brisbane comp, drove him around Double Bay and said, this is Newtown. And he went, oh, really? This is lovely. I'll sign.
And just quickly still with cricket, Jimmy Anderson has come out to urge cricket fans to stop jeering and booing Dave Warner and Steve Smith. He fears that there will be retaliation for that, you know, the first test coming up, the Ashes test at Edgbaston on August 1, that abuse may come back to hurt them, because he has played Australia before where the jeering has upped their performance. Stop right now.
Unfortunately, the Barmy Army got about 20 songs already lined up to sing to Smith and Warner. It's all over by the shouting.
Well,
but
it'll come back to bite them on the bum. That's what Jimmy's saying.
Let's hope so.
Warner was interesting during the week when he was asked about that after he scored his 100.
Yes.
He said it just eggs us on.
Yeah.
So if he's got that mentality, fantastic.
Wouldn't it do the same for you?
Oh, we'd hope so.
We should get a number of people, Judy probably leading the charge, come in here and egg us on and boo us during the course of a Sunday morning.
Do you reckon it'd improve our performance somewhat?
We need something.
We need something.
Don from Carlton's crawled out from underneath his Rockdale and said, gents, Jimmy, your mate Einstein defined insanity as doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Picking Mitchell Pearce is insanity. It's like lining up Greg Norman with Nick Faudo in the final round of the US Masters again. You know what the result will be before the contest starts. I have a ticket to Perth match. If they pick Pearce, I'm not going. Well, Don, you won't be missed, so... up to you.
On the Perth subject, the lovely Sophie's said, I know from family in Perth there is genuine interest in a Perth NRL team,
yes,
and they still haven't got an explanation as to why they were kicked out all those years ago. My auntie works for the Wacker PR.
Who's so that from?
The lovely Sophie, a regular contributor to the show.
Wow, that actually makes sense.
What are you saying?
Exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
Sophie really does.
Why don't we ask...
Hang on, just before we get... I just want to say, go the Swifts today. That's all I'm saying, against the Giants in the Super Netball.
No, 10 to Giants.
I know. I'm a massive Swifts fan, so go the Swifts. And the other thing I want to say is this. We've got State of Origin on this weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday night and on Friday night. We've got the Women's State of Origin at North Sydney Oval. Last year, Roman, I've spoken about this a number of times, just shy of 1 million people watched it. Great game of footy. Mm. Great skill on offer.
Did
and
you
they throw themselves.
Did you go out last
I didn't go to it.
Did
no.
you call it? No.
No.
Okay.
But there I was sitting last night and Avery sitting next to me and we're watching the footy and the ad comes on and the Women's State of Origin ad came on and she said, oh, Daddy, what's that? I said, that's the Women's State of Origin, Avery. And she said, I want to play in that.
How old's Avery now?
Avery's 5. And I thought to myself,
5 years old. How about that?
If you can't see it, you can't be it.
And she saw it. Now she's got... dreams.
She knows that there's footy.
It's fantastic.
Isn't it amazing?
That's great.
I thought it stopped me in my tracks.
Mm.
Then I sent her to bed. It was very late. So 13:53:53, the open line number. But you're right. Up next, Dean Bulldog Ritchie.
How's the Blake Green who gets away from Nathan Peach into the backfield? Two of Vasicek backing up. That's how the Warriors get themselves on the board in this second half.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Can you intro Dino for
us,
please?
Yeah, I know. Ray's got a pertinent league issue that he wants to discuss with you, Dino, but I have to do the introduction.
Because you do it better than me.
Time now to speak to our rugby league reporter, the number one rugby league reporter for the Daily and Sunday Telegraph, Dean Bulldog Ritchie. Morning, Dino.
Good morning.
How are you, Dino? Hey, Dino, look, topic of the Origin being played over in Perth and potentially for Perth to get back into the NRL. Firstly, what's your view of the Origin 2 being played in Perth? And secondly, is there any hope of another NRL team in Perth?
Yeah, Ray, I'm a fan of taking Origin away. I think every year we should have one in Sydney. We should have one in Brisbane. That's Heartland Rugby League territory. That's where Origin was born. But I think it's well and truly gone past the point of just keeping it on the East Coast. We went to Melbourne last year. We've been there previously. We've got Perth. Looks like Adelaide next year. And look, who knows, Ray? I see one day when perhaps it might even be taken over to, you know, maybe Asia or New Zealand. I mean, we go where the money goes, essentially. If there's big bids there, there's big offers, there's a lot of interest there financially, well, we should follow our pockets to some degree.
And an NRL team in Perth? Sorry, Dean.
Yeah, I think there will be, Ray, at some point. I think Brisbane will have a second team. That would be their first option. And when you really think about it, there's no other place to go in terms of options except maybe a second team in New Zealand. But I think Perth will be the logical start-up. Look, I do have concerns certainly the Western Reds experienced some success over there. But, you know, it is an AFL town. It would be a fairly substantial gamble to go back over there, given we know that it's not a rugby league town. But, you know, look, I'm sure they'll do their due diligence before making any announcement. We are a way away from that announcement, Ray. But, look, I think one day, yes, there will be a team out of the West.
The other thing about the West is, yeah, time slot and purpose-built rectangular stadium. There is a population there that have been exposed to a rugby code, whether it's rugby union or rugby league. But the other thing about it is too, when you go and speak to sponsors, they like national coverage. Now, I don't totally agree with it because of population. The most population's on the East Coast, right? Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane. But they like, from a geographic footprint point of view, they say, look, we cover Australia. And that's another
like
advantage.
Our show.
Exactly. Much like our show before we get to 9 o'clock. Yeah. Hey, just on that, Dino, the stories that we've heard coming out of, well, whether they're coming out of New South Wales or they're just being written about New South Wales. I know they've lost two on the trot if you go back to game three last year. But they're on the run, and they're only down 1-0 in the series, and that was the game at Suncorp. Does it seem a little strange to you?
I think the reaction, Jimmy, has been over the top.
Yeah.
I didn't think Brisbane was such a disaster. I mean, it was 18-14, sure. We scored a late try, and we were outclassed, I think, for most of that game. Well, the second half, really. I mean, you could argue that the Blues beat 8-0. So I just don't see the reason why we're calling for so many changes.
Mm.
I mean,
yeah.
I hate using that word panic, but to me it feels like the state is panicking.
Absolutely.
We've lost one game and we're just calling for 3, 4, 5, 6 changes. Mm. I mean, quite clearly, Kotrick and Clever are unavailable through injury, so there will be replacements there. But I just don't see the need to be making 4, 5 changes. In a state of panic after losing one game.
Okay. Mm. Dino, a lot of reports about who the halves combination will be. What are you tipping?
Yeah, I think you'll find, Ray, I've made a few calls this morning, not confirmed yet. It will be announced at 6 o'clock tonight, but it'll be Pierce at halfback and Cleary will be the 5-8. I feel a bit sorry for Cody Walker.
Mm.
Yeah, in my eyes, I think he deserved another crack. He's been in good form and obviously Origin didn't work out quite as he had anticipated, but I still think that he deserves another crack. No denying Mitchell's form has been great, but answer your question, Ray, it'll be Pierce and it will be Cleary. I think you'll find that Tom Trbojevic will come back in.
Good.
Most likely in the centres, which would mean that Josh Morris or Latrell Mitchell miss out. They're going to keep a very close eye on Latrell. He's playing in that Roosters Bulldogs game this afternoon at 4 o'clock, but I'd be absolutely stunned if they drop Latrell Mitchell.
Me too. Yeah. Just on that, Cleary and Pierce, or Pierce and Cleary, 7 and 6. How do you see it playing out?
Yeah, it's a good question, Jimmy. Both really want to own the side.
Mm.
Both have come out publicly and said they want to own the side. Look, I'll be honest with you, Jimmy. I've got some fears how it will work out. I wouldn't have gone that way myself.
Nope.
And both deserve their chance. I'm not being critical of them individually. It's just not how I would have gone, and it's not the mix that I would have taken the gamble on.
Mm. Queensland just sail along and everything going swimmingly for them. Is it their Origin to lose over in Perth?
Well, I think it'll be a good game, Ray. Look, certainly they'll start favourites.
Well, you reckon they'll start favourites? Because the Blues are still favourites in most markets. It's remarkable.
I would have thought that Queensland would have been favourites, certainly in my eyes, after game one, and the fact they've had a nice settled build-up. Look, this happens with New South Wales every year.
Yeah.
I guess we and the media have to take some responsibility. It's our job to promote Origin and to, you know, throw up names and throw up candidates, replacements and players that are in the queue for selection. But, you know, it's not a new thing, New South Wales sort of calling for mass changes after a loss. But just this year, I felt a little more passionate than in previous years about, you know, Freddie sticking solid. Look, Wade Graham will come back in, possibly Tarek Sims. Jack White spots up for grabs. Josh Morris is still there. Will they stick with Payne Haas?
Mm.
So there's 4, 5, 6 changes there. Daniel Saifidi will probably come in. So it's going to look a fairly new-look side in many ways from that went down so narrowly in Brisbane.
Mm. Dino, the SCG will host the grand final of the National Rugby League from 2020 and 2021. Now, I know there was government money to secure the grounds and an assurance for the next 25 years. What's your take on that?
Jimmy, I thought this was an absolute golden opportunity missed here. I get it. The Stadia deal was approved based on the NRL signing a contract that we were going to play the grand final here for many years to come. I understand that money talks, but I just think the SCG isn't a rugby league ground, albeit we love it. It's our pride in Sydney. It's got history. Grand finals were played there for many, many years. But I thought this was a great chance to take the grand final to Brisbane, or even if they could make it on an alternate weekend to the AFL grand final, even dip it down to Melbourne, I'm sure they would have got some big coin. It was a great chance to really showpiece our biggest game of the year, given our two main stadiums will be closed. The Bulldogs have sent out a message to all their fans. They're looking at all their options because the main ground at ANZ won't be reopened until 2023.
Yeah.
So they claim they're quote-unquote looking at options, but quite clearly the only option you would imagine would be going to Bankwest Stadium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is distressing for me because I'm agreeing wholeheartedly with everything Dean's saying
this
morning.
That's why he's number one rugby league
well,
right in the AFL.
Let's not Ray then, Jimmy.
He does all the time. Don't worry, Dean.
Just gang up on him.
He does all the time.
It's fun, isn't it? Seriously, Dino. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. What about the broadcast deal? There was talk during the week they're going to go early.
Yeah, they might go early. Jimmy, interesting factor in perhaps going early is that they might try to sell off portions of the deal individually, and that would mean regular season, finals, grand final, and state of origin. Quite clear, that would be aimed to suck every bit of juice out of the deal. The previous deal, of course, was $1.8 billion. That concludes, I think, after 2022. But of course, with all the different multimedia platforms now where you can see your footy, I am concerned that they may not get that type of money again. But certainly the deal will be very rich, and it is our biggest deal in the game in terms of where the money comes from. It covers, apart from a lot of other things, it covers the salary cap of every side. So it's significant and it's vital. But, yeah, it will be interesting to see whether they go with that option of trying to sell off four different categories under the one umbrella of one deal.
Can I just ask, you mentioned premiership proper, semi-finals, grand final, state of origin, add internationals, because if you played three games, Tonga v New Zealand, it would rival state of origin for level of interest.
Well, it could be a funny situation, Jimmy, potentially. I mean, you know, long way down the track, but you could have the main games on Channel 9, maybe the finals on Channel 7, and the rep weekends might be on Channel 10. Of course, Fox also playing a significant role in there as well.
Yeah.
So, yes, it could be sort of spread around all the channels. Each channel may not have the money to go hole as bowlers at all of rugby league, but certainly they might be able to muster up enough cash to sort of farm out different aspects of it. And yeah, sort of Channel 10, I think, would, you know, thrive, for example, on maybe picking up Origin and or maybe in a finals games.
Yeah.
Which they could on-sell to Fox.
Yeah, no, exactly. And then just quickly, back to a story you wrote during the week about Kalyn Ponga potentially being chased by Rugby Union. It goes back to a point, a lot of discussion about that story, back to a point that Jimmy raised last Sunday, re Ponga. If you're the NRL, you've got to do whatever you can to keep elite talent in the sport. Are they doing enough to keep the likes of Kalyn Ponga in rugby league?
Well, it's an interesting story, Ray. Just firstly, Michael Checker has copped a bit of flack for making that call in that story I wrote about on page one of the Daily Telegraph. But look, I've got no problem with Michael doing it. I think Michael Checker's got to do what Rugby Union has to do. I mean,
of course,
pick the phone up and ask. When I spoke to Michael, he didn't want to be quoted, but he did say, look, you know, that's doing my job.
That's it. It's competition. That's his job.
If there's an elite player out there who's got a rugby background, you know, why wouldn't I go and explore the fact, you know, does he want to come across, just get a lay of the land? I think it's been unfair that Checker's copped a bit of heat for this. I think he's just done what he thought was right for his code.
100%, he could have done. Oh, I totally agree with that. Here's another point we're agreeing on. He could have come out and done. Pulver? Bill Pulver came out and said, oh, we don't want to get people at Campbelltown. We want to get people at Cape Town, which was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard from a Mossman ex banker. But,
again,
and that's saying something.
Back again, he wouldn't say that.
He could have come out and said, if he wants to see Newlands and not Newcastle, Michael Checker, but he had more sense than that. He's not doing his job. You're quite right. He's not doing. And if they think Raylene Castle is going to go, oh, Todd called and said we better drop off Kalyn,
not going to happen.
That's
either.
Ridiculous in itself as well. So. Of course it is. Of course it is. Teams today, Dino, we've got two very important games. I can't believe the price of the St George Illawarra Dragons.
Yeah, that's the Brookvale game. 2 o'clock, Jimmy, Manly Dragons. Man, it should be 1 through 17. There is a changeover at the Dragons, though. Zach Lomax has a broken thumb. Lachlan Maranta will be the replacement there. Also hearing that Luciano Leilua, he turned up late somehow to the final training session. So he was named to start. I think you'll find he might miss out altogether. Now, the second game we've touched on briefly, Roosters Bulldogs, 4 o'clock SCG. James Tedesco, the big news here, will be rested. Joseph Manu will push back to fullback, and Mitch Orbs will go into the centres. Also, there is a couple of changes at the Bulldogs. Adam Elliott, Jack Cogger go out. I hope I get this bloke's name right. I always get it wrong. For Amu Brown, he will be the halfback. Corey Harawira Nare will start. Now, Dallin Watini Zalesniak was picked in the centres, but just making a couple of quick calls for supporting the male is growing that he will start, in fact, at fullback, which would mean Nick Meaney would push to the wing, and that would push Marcelo Montoya into the centres.
Oh, that's interesting. Because, remember, he just wanted to play fullback, and then he went to the Dogs and was named in the centres. Wow. I wonder if they said, no, you'll be fullback. We just won't tell anyone till the morning of the game or an hour before the game. That will be very interesting to watch, Dino. All right. Good pick-up on that one. Anything else? Any other news around, mate?
Oh, just a story that might emerge in the next few weeks in terms of Jordan Rapana at Canberra. Jimmy, they made quite a good offer to Jordan earlier this year, which he rejected. He's on about $500,000 a year at the moment, I'm told. But now, of course, they've had to upgrade Kotrick and Whiten in terms of State of Origin payment. So that kind of money for Rapana that was there a few months ago now isn't there. So it will be interesting how it pans out down there in the capital, because if he wants to stay Rapana, he may now have to take a pay cut.
Oh, that is interesting. Hey, Dino, I'll tell you what, and Ray is quite right. There is a reason you are the number one rugby league writer at the Daily and Sunday Telegraph. I think you've displayed that to all the listeners this morning.
Well, mate, I think I should probably come there next week and maybe push Ray out.
Oh, there you go.
Look, we can discuss during the course of the week. Have a look at the I tell you what we know about Ray Thomas. He won't go down without a fight.
I'm not here next week.
You're the best, Raven.
You're most welcome, Dino.
You're the best, Raven.
I'll be in Perth too, Jimmy.
Very good. All right, gents. Good on you, Dino. We'll speak next week. Oh, actually, will we speak next week?
Yeah, that's a point.
You'll be up early.
For
us.
I'll be up early. It's Origin morning. I'll be up. Good on by then.
That's right.
Good on you, mate.
A little stretch, getting ready for the big game. See you, mate. Dean Bulldog Richie there, the number one rugby league writer for the Daily and Sunday Telegraph. Now, Max, we have a response from Glenn Munsey around the draw and the option that's available.
Good man. Not in the Golden Point. Draw is not an option then, but the draw is an option, quote, in pre-game markets with all the other exotics. Any market that states it is an 80-minute market usually has that draw option.
Thank you, Munns. By the way, Brett Keeble is tweeting the program saying, hey, guys, have you mentioned this? Anthony Davis just joined LeBron James at the Lakers.
Huge.
So if you're an NBA fan, that is big. The Pelicans have picked up, who they got? Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart. And some other things around the draft. But that is big news. So Anthony Davis would be Dick Fain on saying he'd be top five players in the league.
Wow.
Top five players in the league now with LeBron at the Lakers. 13:53:53. A break and back with more.
You've won the plumbing contract. Now, all you need is to hire the extra staff and the equipment to deliver the project. So, you call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. We've helped thousands of small business owners get ahead with loans of up to $250,000. Get approval in hours and funds in your account as early as the next business day. At OnDeck, we say yes to small business. So for a loan to help you get ahead, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Satisfaction. There's payday satisfaction.
Yes.
Perfect lawn satisfaction.
Yes.
Hole-in-one satisfaction.
Yes.
Then there's getting an Amarok V6 Auto starting from $49,990 drive away with a 5-year unlimited kilometre warranty satisfaction. Plus, for a limited time across all Amarok V6 models, 3 years free scheduled servicing.
Get some end of financial year satisfaction at Volkswagen today. Conditions and exclusions apply. Visit volkswagen.com.au.
It sounds strange, but this is a hearing check for your eyes. That's right, a hearing check for your eyes. Every person with diabetes is at risk of eye damage. Thing is, your eyes alone won't always see the symptoms. So listen carefully. Most diabetes-related blindness is preventable with regular eye checks. Sign up for eye check reminders at keepsight.org.au and keep an eye on your sight. Your eyes will thank you for listening. keepsight.org.au, supported by Diabetes Australia.
Now the Warriors just inbound, and that's it. There's the new NBA champion, and it's a team from Toronto, Canada. We the North are now we the champions, the Raptors, the 2019 NBA champs.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Last 10 minutes of the show, I've got a Don from Carlton just returned serve. Hey, Jimmy, right. Just a suggestion. If Avery is going to achieve her dream, just make sure you keep the key to the videos of your past games in a safe place. That's one of the best from Don from Carlton.
So, that's just early. If you've just joined the program, that was at my daughter Avery, who's five, saying she wanted to play Women's State of Origin after seeing the ad last night. Let me assure you, Don, if she did happen to stumble across said videos, I would be saying, and don't do that. And see that? Don't do that.
And also, just a quick one, MV Hammer. Right, yes. Jimmy says some crazy stuff at times, but Tonga versus New Zealand rivaling Origin, it's a classic recorded. I was a bit taken aback when you said that.
The only thing holding it back is the size of the market, right?
Well, that's the whole point, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. If you took those quality of games, those standard of games,
that atmospheric games,
and took it to another market, like, say the USA.
Well, you and I watch it because we're rugby league aficionados, but there might be a...
USA.
Yeah, no. Anyway, we'll agree to disagree on that one.
The emergence of the Polynesian player within the National Rugby League is well documented. I'm not arguing with that. But what I'm saying is this. The emergence of the Polynesian player within the NFL is being widely acknowledged as well.
Okay, that's a different point.
You're talking about you're not doing your job and you're upset that they're taking State of Origin to Perth.
I'm not upset.
Why do they take rugby league to the state?
I didn't say I was up. They did once before.
Nah, better. Bigger.
They took an Origin game over there.
That's right. Sterling couldn't get through the banner.
Exactly.
Poor fella. Yeah. 1353-53.
Last year, exactly.
All right. Yeah, that's right. How'd that go? I think they're still chasing the promoter. Anyway, beyond that, no one got paid. but apart from that, it was fantastic success. Let's go to the corner. Adrian's on the line. Hello, Adrian.
Hello, boys.
Hello, Adrian.
Terrific, mate. What do you got for us, Adrian?
Tell me, Raymond, has Jimmy been paying for you the cartons that he owes you with Wingman beer?
I haven't seen the carton.
I don't think any of us have seen the Wingman as promised by the one Jimmy Smith for beating him in the quiz.
Hang on. Were you promised a Wingman beer, Adrian?
100%.
Oh, where's that list, Jim?
Just be patient.
No, it's okay. And the other thing was, I thought I'd ask Raymond, seeing he's a Panthers supporter, what did you think about that no-try decision last night? I thought, and I'm going to preface this by saying that I am a crazy Rabbitohs supporter, but where has the bunker gone with the decisions around making a defensive read? You can't have an obstruction if you don't catch the ball behind the player. And that defender for Panthers only had eyes for our runner coming across, and like, he tackled him.
Adrian, 100%. This is the point of our call earlier, Jim. And this is the problem. The inconsistencies drive rugby league fans completely mad.
Well, how's this for inconsistency, Adrian? And now, when you talk about things like this, it's dependent on who's sitting in the bunker.
And that's where it's wrong.
It's grey, though, Raymond.
But your version
is different to my version. I'll give you an example. On Thursday...
But that's the point, Jim. It's got to be consistent for the rugby league
camp
and
for
the game. It can't
be consistent unless it's the one person sitting in there for eight games.
Well, it's wrong, then, because the interpretation of the rules have to be black and white.
They can't be black and white. There's so much grey. There is so much discretionary area in rugby league.
That's Adrian's point. That's the point. Well,
we agree to disagree. I'll give you an example. On Thursday, in the Sharks v Raiders game, there was a situation where they went upstairs as try. To me, it was clearly an obstruction.
to Brett Camorley on the sideline. It was clearly an obstruction.
Interpretation.
Once again. Scott Sattler sitting next to us in the commentary box, he said there's no problem with that. It should be a try.
Interpretation.
So there's three people, and we've come up with two different options
how do you solve it to stop the frustration of rugby? And you and I are getting frustrated here talking about it, because it's an issue. We're going around in circles here.
It won't stop the frustration. Hopefully you can temper it. Get the one person to sit in there and give the same views. Then you've got to trust that person.
It's got a busy weekend.
Good on you. Jared Maxwell. Say goodbye to your family on Thursday and say hello again on Monday morning.
Yeah.
There's no other way to do it, Ray. Because
I know what you're saying, but is this... There's got to be some way to make the rules more black and white so the interpretation is not so wide, so different, so often.
I wish I could say there's beauty in the grey, but there's not. And unfortunately, it's one of... Adrian, just patience around that wingman.
There's beauty in the wingman.
Out of all that, I just call for patience. Now, I tell you what, we need to be patient with this bloke. He's been given an inch and he's taken a mile.
No,
he's Scotty Foster from C.
He's doing it best for his business and for our listeners. That's what he's doing.
Morning, Scotty.
Good morning, boys.
Have we sold that car last week?
Boys, we didn't sell that car, but I'm happy to say we did sell another car to a listener. Trevor Bell, he purchased himself a nice Ford Territory. So Trevor's actually Jason Bell's father that played footy for South and Power way back, probably against you, Jimmy.
Halfback.
Yeah, he was.
Yep. I remember him well. He was a very good player. Very good player. Now, just on this... I'm looking at your copy for this ad, Scotty.
Be ready, Scotty. Here it comes.
Unless we're upping the ante price-wise, you've extended this segment that was 3 minutes out to about 8 minutes.
He's just doing his best.
Mate, I used to come on a 9:45, but now I get on at 4 minutes.
Well done, Scotty. Comeback.
You guys have taught me how to drag things on. I can tell you that.
Good comeback, Scotty. Clean bowl, James Smith. Middle stump out of the ground.
And Ray, the best game of footy I've ever seen for a long time was South versus Newcastle back in, when was that, Jimmy? Early 2000?
Hang on. What happened?
When Newcastle and the Johns brothers just absolutely destroyed South Sydney and you were a part of that side?
I'll tell you what, at halftime we were down 30-0 and despite the rev up from Russell Crowe at halftime talking about defence, it was 30-0 in the second half.
60-0. Was it really?
Yeah. Remember the vision of the Johns boys down on one knee and doing the finger-to-finger thing? Yeah,
that was
against us.
Oh, jeez.
Thanks for bringing it up, Scotty. Yeah. Really appreciate that.
You got his car to sell, Scotty?
Yeah, what's going on here?
Boys, I've got a great 2017 Toyota Corolla 5-door hatch on special today. So this near-new Corolla hatch is a one owner. It has 50,000 kilometres and it's Australia's favourite small car. Now, this little beauty has a 7-speed automatic transmission and a very reliable 1.8-litre engine for extremely good fuel economy. It comes with logbooks and service history, and being a 2017 model, it's stacked full of comfort and safety options, including 7 airbags, ABS brakes, traction control and electronic stability control. It's a beautiful-looking late-model, low-kilometre Corolla hatch, white in colour, and it will come with a balance of new car warranty. This 2017 Corolla hatch is very popular, and we have it on special today for the listeners at just $16,990. Now, this is drive away, boys. So that's right. We're going to pay the stamp duty for you. So it's just $16,990 drive away. This is a super special. So go to the website, www.fosterscualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 96375024. And make sure you mention Sky Sports Radio to get this great price and great deal of the free stamp duty.
And you can also help with finance, Scotty.
We can, Ray. You can get finance for this car or any of our vehicles. We've got access to a number of lenders, and it allows us to get the best possible rate. It also allows us to help a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. So if you've had credit issues in the past, then now's the time to give us a call. Get on a pension, have paid or unpaid default, starting a new business and need a work vehicle, then go to our website, www.fosterscualitycars.com.au, or give us a call now on 96375024.
Scotty, you've got 25 seconds. Plug what you like.
Boys, don't forget we now do trucks for all our listeners as well. So we'll find the best possible truck at the best possible price and get down to Wenny today. Wenny's hosting Cabramatta today at Ringrose Park. Sydney Shield kicking off at 1 p.m. and Ron Massey Cup side play Cabra at 3. So come down and watch two great games of footy, and then head over to Wanny Leagues and check out all the new renovations
and enjoy a sensational dinner at the new Plaza Food Hall.
Brilliant, Scotty.
Look at that. 25 seconds and he took 35. Oh, and I think, anyway. Good on you, mate.
Just dragging things out.
Well done. We'll get that car sold today. Get on there. Fosters.qualitycars.com.au or give them a call. 96375024. Good on you, Scotty. Coming up today on Racing HQ, Muscle Book preview with Gary Harley. Gary Cleese's going to look at Port Macquarie, the Big Sports Breakfast, of course. Back tomorrow morning at 5:30. Now, we're looking for our best today. I reckon it's Redman from Tamworth. He said, morning, boys. My groundbreaking win, Cadell Evans.